hearts unto you, God. Hallelujah. For your hope, God. Your strong tower. Lord, we thank you for that, God. We thank you that you're a good, good Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, tell somebody he's good. He's good, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, come on, check out the signs. Renee got them in. Amen. You like them? Come on, amen. You like them? I like them. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Randy. Very beautiful. Awesome. I love them. That's our heart, man. This is our vision, 2020 vision, amen, that we could see the Lord high and lifted up, amen, sitting upon the throne. Where's he at? And everything and we go through, come on, he's on the throne, amen. We got to see him that way. Listen, we've been talking about our thoughts, our thinking. And so tonight, I'm going to take you on a journey. You come with me? I'm going to take you on a journey. We got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. But I'm going to take you there. Amen. I want you to just, I have a lot of scripture. Amen. Because I told my wife I'm preaching about Jesus tonight. Amen. I don't do anything else but preach Jesus, but I'm specifically preaching about Jesus. And the reason why I want to share this is because I want you to understand that our minds being right, that we have the mind of Christ, that you have the mind of Christ, that you begin to take hold of what the Father's intentions were. Amen. That we know God's intentions. We know them and we see them through who? Jesus Christ. The intentions of the Father. Amen. Don't let nobody tell you what they think the intentions are. Jesus showed me the way. He is the way, he's the truth and the life. Amen. So the intentions of God aren't hidden. They're revealed in Jesus Christ. That's good news. I'm excited about that. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the Word of God, and I'm going to use my trusty iPad to find these scriptures quickly, because I'm going to run through them, and I want to lay this out to you, and I'm going to take you somewhere, and we're going to go into Revelations, and tell someone it ain't scary. All right, listen, and I want to help you with this. I'm only going to go a little bit, because I'm going to take you through the Bible, because I want you to see this, amen? He's in the whole book. Say the whole book. And I'm going to show you that he's in the whole book. Hallelujah. He just doesn't show up in Matthew. He's been in the book. Amen. He's in it the whole way through. So we could see something. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Let's read this real quick. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit which is of God, that you might know." Say, "You might know." "The things that are freely given to us of God." Which things? "Also that we speak, not of words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches." I want you to understand something, that this word, if we see it in the flesh, you ain't going to get it. But I want you to know that God wants to reveal his word to you. He desires to do that. He longs for you to take hold of his word so that it can free you. This word is not dead. Tell someone it ain't dead. It's alive. Hallelujah. It breathes. When I get up in the morning, sometimes in situations where I'm seeking the word of God, and I open up the Bible and God breathes something into me. Hallelujah. When I didn't feel like I could do it, I didn't know if I could get through this, God breathed the word into me, and I took hold of that word and it lifted me up. It causes me to run when I'm weary. Amen. That's what God does. It's alive. Hallelujah. It's fresh. It's not old. Amen. Every time I open up my Bible, every single Saturday morning when I begin to get into studying and getting into the Word, I'm in it all the time. But that's specifically, I say, God, Lord, enlighten me to see it like I've never seen it before. And he'll take me to places I've preached 50 times, but God will open it up to me and show me something different. Amen. I'm not going to get done if I do it this way. I got to go. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit." Maybe she got offended. "We're not of the natural man, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is not judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? All right, I'm going to give you this. Hebrews. You could write these down, but I want you to know that every scripture that I go through, Randy writes them, has them down, and whenever you go into our archives of our sermons, he has every scripture written down. So you can study with me. Amen? Amen. Okay, Hebrews 10:7. It says, then said I, this is Jesus, lo, I come in the volume of the book written of me. Say it's written of him. Not just the certain pages, not the New Testament. I come in the volume of the book. Now we're going to go, I'm going to sidetrack for 1 second, but I want you to know that I'm not going to go there. I'll go there next week. I'll go there because if I go in there, I'm not coming back out. I can't. All right. 2 Corinthians 3. Or no, I'm sorry. Let's just go right into Revelations right now. Ready? All right. I'm excited. I just want you to read this with an open heart. Amen? So many times we got to remind ourselves of this. Remember, I teach the Word of God through the cross. Amen? Everything through the cross. You read the Word of God through the cross. Amen? So it comes to the cross. It's all about Jesus. So let's open this up. And it says, this book declares something. It tells us right from the beginning. Amen? Tells us, if we're not sure what it's about, Janie, he tells us what it's about. It opens up with this. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Revelations 1, sorry. Which God gave unto him, show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. I'm going to say that again because we jump right over that. I want you to know this is Revelations, and he spoke something. This is the revelations of Jesus Christ. He says, in these things that will shortly, say shortly, come to pass. He says, and he sent and signified it by the angel unto the servant John, who bare the record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's a testimony of Jesus. Say, it's all about Jesus. And of all things that he saw. Who saw? John. This is the testimony of Jesus and all the things that John saw. I want you to understand something. It is his testimony that it is the intentions of Jesus revealed from God, amen, through Jesus Christ, that John is revealing in this book. Okay? And he says, I'm not going to go far here because there's a lot to it. And he says, blessed is he. You're blessed if you read this. Sometimes people are afraid to read it. And he says, readeth. And they that, and that's why I said, listen, you can't read this with a preconceived vibe, what somebody else told you of the intentions of God. You got to see it through Jesus. If not, it'll mess you up. Come on, amen. Listen, and he says, blessed is he that readeth it, and that he hears the words of prophecy and keeps those things which are written therein, for the time is what? For the time is at hand. All right. Okay. Now, John to the seven churches. Okay. These are the seven churches. I'm going to jump down here to this bottom part. I'll go back to that some other time, but not right now. It says, I, John, who also am your brother in compassion and tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of called Patmos. I want you to know that he was sent there. Amen. It was a sentence. He was sent to this place. It was a deserted place. There wasn't much there. It was a 30 mile square area. There wasn't much life there. And the island is actually called Patmos. It means my killing. The Word of God describes, it says, that no longer I liveth, but Christ liveth in me. He's declaring something. I want you to know that there was a revelation. God revealed something to him while he was in a killing place where he was dying to self. Amen. It wasn't no longer about him, but the only thing that was being revealed is Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. In every situation, every place that he went, it was all about Jesus. Amen. So this is the expression that's coming out of him that he's learning. It was his killing place. Now, you can look in Romans 7:7. I'll look that up real quick. I don't want to try to read it without... I want to make sure I read it right. And it says, but we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Not in a letter. Come on, this isn't about that. It's about a relationship. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, had not known sin, but the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said so. But sin, taking occasion by the command, wrote in me a manner of conspicuousness. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Amen? So I want you to see this. Was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now he's beginning to explain something, that he came from this old thing about trying to do it on your own, trying to get to God, trying to find God on my own, with my own accomplishments, with what I do. Because he's talking about the law. He's talking about how that you had to go through rituals. Amen. It was a religious thing. And he was saying that Jesus took that away. Amen. And he's explaining it. He's detailing it. Amen. So we can understand that where his heart's coming from. This is the New Testament. It's a new covenant that he's revealing to us. And that new covenant is relationship. Amen? And he says it was the owl called Patmos. And he says, and the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Say the Lord's day. Listen, and I want you to know that he was in the throne room of God. He was at a place of revelation. Now, I want you to see something, because we can look at the Moses' tabernacle, and there's three different spaces. We understand them. There's the outer court, there's the holy place, and there's the most holy place. Now, we're going to get to that point, but I want you to see there's three levels. There's extensions. There's going farther. There's precept upon precept. There's understanding that God's revealing, faith upon faith. So we get experience with God in the outer court, that you come to a place where you receive him. Amen. That everybody is in that place. Everybody's welcome in that place. Come on in. Amen. Meet with God. Here he is. The sacrifice was made there. They were able to wash and to cleanse themselves. Amen. To see where they came from, to see what they can go forward to. It was man meeting God. When we receive Christ in our life, we are in the outer court. But then we go into the holy place. And in the holy place, we could see that it's man working with God. Say, with God. See, because you needed somebody to light the candle. Amen? Jesus keeps it burning, but there was something there where that you need to open up your word. You need to take hold of it. You need to eat it. You need to receive it into your life. You need to make it part of your very being. Amen. And then there was the candlestick that was there, and there's a whole understanding of that whole thing. But what was revealed there was the communion, the showbread. It was a place where it was revealed. So there's different levels where you come into. Then you come into this relationship with God. But then you go into the most holy place where, guess what? It's all about God. The only person moving is God. Amen? That God's doing everything that's happening in that place is God. It's all about God. Amen? And that's the powerful. See, God wants us to come to a place where it's no longer about me. Amen? That I lay aside, hallelujah, selfishness and pride and things that offend me, so easily beset me and move me away from my faith. But it's all about God. Amen? I let God move in my very being, hallelujah, and experience God. So he's bringing them to a place this. So he says, in the Spirit of the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a great voice. So he's standing there. What's in front of him? The throne of God. What is he? High and lifted up. Amen? Come on, say high and lifted up. I want you to get this. This is good. So here he is, and he's looking at it. It's got his attention. But then he hears a voice. Where's it at? Behind him. Outside of that throne. It's like you got the holy, most holy place and back in the other place where what? The church is. They weren't in the throne room. They were back here. I want you to see this. This whole letter was, it's as simple as this. I'm bringing it to your attention. That this whole letter is telling the churches, don't stay there. Come on, amen. Come up higher. Every through, just look it up for yourself. Come and see. Come up higher. All through Revelation. Come up higher. Come and see. Buy from me. And the problem was, the churches were still in the old relationship about law, trying to do it on their own, trying to find their own way, and they weren't willing to get out of that place and to move into a relationship. It's easier to stay in religion. It really isn't, but it seems in our own minds, it's just easy just to go through the motions. Come on. Churches do it all the time. And they become dead. Jesus is standing at the door of the church knocking, saying, can I come in? Come on, that's why I preach so passionately about just being Jesus. It's just about Him. We need Jesus to move. Amen. Not just a revelation about this and about that, that we got this. No, it's just Jesus. Come on, He's enough. He's enough. He's enough. Nothing else. Amen. Nothing else. So we could see here that He goes through this thing. Jesus is telling Him, He says, fear not, for I'm the first and the last. He says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I'm alive. You don't have to go through those old things anymore. Come on. I'm right here. The throne of God is before you. You can enter in. The veil has been torn down. Amen. We can look and see that the veil literally in the temple was tore. It was ripped. But we can see, understand that Jesus, He was the veil that was ripped. His body was ripped. He was ripped on that cross. That guess what? Because of Him that I can enter in. Say, I can enter in. I can, not just in the outer court. Come on. Not just in a holy place, but I can go into the throne room of God with my relationship today. Not something to just look forward to. Today. Amen? Amen. All right. So we can understand that. And we can see that in Colossians it talks about, he says that what's happening, we can see Revelation is about what's happening now in heaven. A lot of things that are happening in Revelations are things that are happening now. Say now. Now. And not only now, but they're not just that, but this understanding that the things that are happening are the experiences I wrote this down. It says, what's happening? He says, are in presently unfolding in the believer's life. There's a lot of battles going on. I'm about to be real here, church. Come on. There's a lot of battles it talks about. And he's talking presently in your life. There's a lot of battles going on, and it's being declared in the heavenlies. Come on. That we can see that there's a battle taking place. Amen. There's a battle. Hallelujah. There's taking place in the spiritual realm on our behalf. So that we can positionally find ourselves where He is. All right, so let's look at Luke. Those are all scriptures I just wrote down right before I came up here. So let's go. Luke 24:13. I love this scripture. Sometimes we skip over it and don't really grab what it says. I've done it before. But this is what I'm trying for us to understand, that we have the mind of Christ, understanding that it's always about us. He's eternal. He's redemptive. Revelations is redemptive. It is the redemptive work of God happening now. Presently. Working on your behalf. Behind the scenes that you don't see. Come on, amen. And he says this. He says, and behold, two of them that went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 67 miles. And they talked together of all the things that have happened. And it came to pass that while they were communed together, this is what happens, what Jesus does to us, that he steps in the midst of your conversations. Some of the conversations that you might be having, you might not want him stepping into. But I want you to know that he always wants to step in the midst because he wants you to change your mindset. Come on, amen. He wants to change the way that you're thinking. Tell someone the way you're thinking. He wants you to have his mind. Come on in. He wants you to have his thoughts. Why? Because his intentions are to reveal the Father. So if you understand what Jesus is saying, you know what the Father's saying. Jesus says, I only say what the Father says. So if I know what Jesus says, I'm going to know what the Father's saying. So he's on their way. Jesus steps in the midst of the conversation. And he says, and it came to pass that while he was communed together, reason Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He went with them. He says, but their eyes were holding and they should not know him. They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't these are disciples. I got my own opinion who I think they are, but it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't say, so it doesn't matter. Say it doesn't matter. I'm not going to tell you, but... So here they are. They're on their way and they're looking and they're walking with Jesus and they don't even recognize him. It doesn't matter to him. You might not be giving him praise. You might not be worshiping him, but he's walking with you. You might feel like you're alone, but I'm here to tell you, he's walking with you. Whether you recognize his presence or not, he's with you. He's with you. This is the most devastating. They thought everything was lost. They thought things were done. They thought they had no hope. And hope was with them. I want you to recognize this. That when you don't think there's no hope, look to your side because he's with you. Come on, amen. You're not alone. Hallelujah. You're never alone. Others might forsake you. Come on, the church might forsake you. But he'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you alone. Come on, amen. He will never leave you alone. And so here they are. They're walking with him. And he says... And he said to them, he says, what manner of communication? What language is this? He says that these you have one to another as you walk in your sad. He says, you walk in your sad. And man, I want you to know that this really jumps at me because sometimes we're walking and we're going through things and we're sad. And he wants to know, here's Jesus with them. He's with you always. Come on. He's with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always. He's with me. And he's wondering, what's wrong with your communication? Why are you sad? He said, and the one of them, whose name was Caiaphas, he says, answered unto him and says, art thou only stranger in Jerusalem? They tell you who he is. He says, are you a stranger? He says, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in this day? Is this not us? I got to share this. Is this not us? We're telling God, don't you know what's going on, God? Forgive me, God. God, don't you know how I feel right now? Don't you know my body, God? Don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know what's taking place? Isn't it funny that when you look from this side, you think, that's so ridiculous. Shine a light on me. And he says, and these things which come to pass there on these days. He says, and he said unto them, you ready for this? Underline this in your Bible. Circle it. Because he asked them, what things? Say what things. He's asking them, do you know what things? Because you're sad. This is why we need to know about Jesus. This is what we need to know about. Come on. This is why we need to let this word come alive. Because I want you to know that you'll get the victory, that that word's alive within us. He's with us. He's alive. Come on, amen. His word's not dead. They think Jesus is dead. The Word, it ain't dead. It's alive. Hallelujah. It's beating. Hallelujah. It's moving. Come on, amen. It's right there. And he says, he asked them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, he says, which was a prophet. He was a prophet. He was mighty in his deeds. They're explaining who he was to himself. He says, and mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. and how the chief priest and all the rulers delivered him to the, condemned him to death and crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all these things, today is the third day. Say third day. Since these things were done, yea, a certain woman also of the company made us astonished and were early in the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said unto them was alive. And a certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so that the wisdom had with the woman had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, oh, you fools, lacking. That word means lacking. You're lacking and slow of heart. Say it's a heart issue. See, I want you to know something. You could see everything, but if what you see doesn't match what's in your heart, doesn't, that's right there. I want you to see this. This is what God's working on us as a people, that we see him high and lifted up. Because when we see him high and lifted up, that means that in our heart, the Bible says that those that are hungry, come on, amen, shall see God. Hungry. Those that let the heart, our hearts be changed, be moved, hunger after God, that our hearts be after him. Amen. He says, listen, and it says, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken the word. Say the word. He says that you are to believe the word. He said, because remember, they only have the Old Testament. Tell someone it doesn't matter. It's the word of God. I want you to see this. Come on. Amen. Some people don't read. I literally knew pastor. I don't know if you know him, but it doesn't matter. But he never went into the Old Testament. He says that was the old. And I want you to know, he kind of had the right intentions. I'm not bad. I'm just trying to explain something to you that's dangerous, because it's the whole Bible in the volume of the book. So I want you to know that I want to show you that some of these things you know, but I want to show you how big God is. That he just didn't show up in Matthew. Come on. He was and is to come. Amen. He's the first and the last. Hallelujah. I want you to recognize this and see this, because it'll cause us to come alive in our love for God's word. And he says, and he ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And listen, and then, say then, Jesus began to preach. He began to tell of his story. Let me just tell you what things happened. See, he asked them, what things? Do you really know what took place? Hi. Sit right here. No, over here. I want you over here because it's closer. Yeah. See, I want you to know that we need to get what things in our heart. I want this to grip. I want what things he did. The power of what he did. The cost. Like we sang Saturday night. We sang, do we know the cost? How's it go? Never know how much it costs. But I want you to know, this will help us see what it costs. This will help us see how far it goes. Before you were looking for him, thousands of years before you even thought of him, and thousands of years before that, he was. And he says, and he began with Moses and the prophets, and he expanded. He went through the scriptures, and he drew under the village. And he says, and he went and he made through what would go farther. And he says, and he went all the way through the scripture, all the way through the scriptures. And he says, but they constrained him because something was happening within them. Come on. I want you to know that when that word starts to come alive in your hearts, you'll constrain him. You will grab hold of him. You'll take hold of him. From that which you've been apprehended, you desire to apprehend. Come on, amen. What got a hold of you? I want you to know that there's things that get a hold of our hearts and grip us. But you begin to make him the center. Begin to look what he's done for you. Begin to take hold of his word. Let it come alive in you. And I want you to know that you'll begin to constrain him when you begin to see what he's done for you. You begin to apprehend him because you've been apprehended. Not because of you, but because of that, it'll cause you to apprehend him. It'll cause you to run after him. Amen? And he says that Cushanum, for it was toward the evening and the day was far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as they eat with them, he took the bread. Say, he took the bread. It's all about Jesus. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And he gave the bread. That is him. Say, it's Jesus. He literally took hold of that. It wasn't just, I want you to see this and understand that he was demonstrating himself. He was demonstrating this. And I want you to know what opened their eyes is what he did. What he did for them opened their eyes. That our eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we would see the mystery of the kingdom of God. The mystery. All the things. What things will come alive in us? Come on, amen. What were a mystery before, all of a sudden becomes revealed because of the cross through Jesus Christ. Boom! You're enlightened because of it. He says, and it came to pass as they sat at the meat, he says, and he gave it to them, and they took it. The Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. Listen, would you take hold of that? And you all know this. I teach this. I preach this. When we take hold of that, we do it to remember, to remind ourselves what he did to us. Amen. To remember. Remember. Say, remember. You put back together again. Amen. That we come back together with him. Amen. That it reminds us because of what he did on the cross, I'm remembered back together. It brings me the place because of the cross, because of what he did, it brings me back to Eden. To paradise. Amen? Remember, I say this all the time, that Adam and Eve, they took a garden and turned it into a graveyard. Jesus took a tomb, a graveyard, and turned it into a garden. Amen? And he says, and it came to pass as he said, he says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Boom! They knew him. As he expounded on who he was and what he did, it's all about Jesus. And by breaking of that bread, by his expression, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of that, hallelujah, because his blood was, all those things matter. And their eyes were opened. They were enlightened. He says, and he vanished out of their sight. He says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn inside us? They were so excited. Come on, I want you to know that their hearts, just a little bit ago, it says their hearts were foolish. They were letting their communication, but their communication changed when they got the mind of Christ. What things happened? And all of a sudden, boom, their hearts were burning. They were on fire. There was a fire that was burning within them. Amen? All right. So, where are we going to go? What time is it? I didn't even get to the first verse. I said all that to say this. You ready? Genesis 1. He's in the first verse. You say, well, how's he in the first verse? He's in the first verse. You ready for this? What does this say? Say it to me. Say, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. In the beginning. That word beginning means first fruit. Amen? It means first fruit. In the beginning, the first. He is the first fruit. 1 Corinthians 15, 23. But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire, wait a minute, hang on, what was that? Is that the right verse? Oh, no, that's Romans. See? I got fat fingers. I apologize. It says, but every man in his own order, Christ, say Christ, the first fruit. Say the beginning. Afterward, that they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority. And it explains this, and it tells us right at the beginning that he is the first fruit. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be alive. Colossians 1:16. For by him, say all things, were created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You were created by him and for him. Amen? He was within the beginning. Say the beginning. The Bible says that from the foundation of the earth, hallelujah, that he was slain from the foundation of the earth. There was an answer, come on, amen, for our problem before we were even existing. Before man was even created. Come on, amen. The Bible says that in Christ, he was slain from the beginning, from before the foundations of the earth. Amen. Listen, when you build a foundation, you got to have everything in its right place. God didn't say, oh no, Adam and Eve messed up. What are we going to do now? Plan A. Say plan A. He didn't scramble. He didn't get concerned. He wasn't worried about, well, then why didn't he bring him back Jesus right away? Because he had a love story to tell. He had a love story to tell. Come on, amen. And it went from Genesis all the way to the New Testament. Amen. And it was revealed, the love story that he was telling. He was talking about his love and desire for you. You talked about something. You said that God, that even in the midst of your mistakes, that man, this hit me when you were sitting there, that even in the midst of Jonah's disobedience, come on, how many of you have not listened to God when God talked? But I want you to know that I want you to see this, God knew that he wasn't going to listen. So in the midst of him even not listening, God had a redemptive plan. Come on, amen. That he created a well at the beginning of, come on, he created that well for this specific purpose. Amen. Listen, I want you to know that even in your failures, God's got a redemptive plan in everything. Doesn't give us just to do it, because guess what? Jonah went through hell because he didn't listen to God. But even in the midst of that, God's got a redemptive plan. Amen. He's got a well for you. Come on, amen. Even, I don't care what mistake you've made. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what failure you got. When you trust in God and you move after God, God's got a redemptive. He's got a well waiting for you to bring you back to where you left off. To bring you back to the place where that you need to walk with him. Amen. To that place where they had communication. Amen. Who's trying to interrupt me? Yep, there we go. We're getting that fixed. Bye. We're getting that fixed. And the Bible says, and I'm going to try to finish this because I'm not going to go any farther. And he says, and the earth was without form. This is talking about me. I was without form. And then what happened? He says, and I was void and in darkness. I was empty. I was in darkness. He says, upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. He says, upon the face of the waters. And God said, say God said, let there be light. Whew. Let there be light. I want you to know he's talking about Jesus. He says, let there be light. That light intercepted, come on, amen, what death and decay, come on, what void and what darkness, hallelujah. When I take hold of that word, I say, let there be light. Come on, amen, that we let him reveal, just like those disciples, when we find out his love for us, this love story that it has for us, when we find out about how passionate he is about me, hallelujah, your heart will burn. The excitement that burns within us is because when we find out what things he did for us, and that I was on his mind from the beginning. You might have been without void. There was no hope for you. Let there be light. And he says, and there was. And God saw the light, and it was God. And we're not going to get into all that because I can't. That's who he is. I couldn't even get just past the first verse. In every page, I want you to know I'm going to take you on a journey. Talk about Cain and Abel. I'm going to talk about Abraham. I'm going to talk about Moses. I'm going to talk about how this. And when I'm talking about them, I'm talking about what Jesus did. That He showed up. He was right there. Come on. He was in the midst. Just like with those disciples. He was walking. Hallelujah. He was on a journey and He was on His way to the cross. Hallelujah. He was on His way to the cross to get you back. Hallelujah. Into fellowship with the Father. From the beginning of time. Hallelujah. That from that moment on, He was on His way to a journey to meet with you. I'm going to walk with God. Stand to your feet. Come on, amen. I want a relationship with Him for what He did for me. Come on, amen. That the Bible says it's so important for it declares. Paul speaks time and time. He says, though that we be not ignorant, that we be not ignorant of this gospel. Hallelujah. That we be not ashamed, that we don't be afraid of it, but we take hold of it. That we be enlightened, that we be quickened in our thinking and our minds. I want you to know some of the victories that we don't have in our lives. Some of the things sometimes we're missing is because we need to get this. We need to get this in our heart. We need to let it burn within us. Amen? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for what You did. I thank You for all that You've given. I pray to God, Lord, that each one of us, as we open up this word to God, Lord, that we be enlightened, quickened with understanding, God, of what You've done for us. Lord, that we can stand and say, I know what things You did. Hallelujah. God, Lord, that we, God, even if we take hold of and read all that we can, God, Lord, we'll never get the fullness and the completeness on this side of what You've done for us. But God, if I can just get a glimpse, hallelujah, it will enlighten me like those disciples, that my eyes will be opened and my heart will burn. I thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on back next Wednesday. We're going to do it again. Amen.